The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the best pictures I have ever seen on the internet is this photo of a bunch of shelves at a grocery store or a liquor store, and it's these shelves full of wine bottles. And then the sign that's hanging from the ceiling that tells you what section of the grocery store you're in says water. And underneath, the caption says, "Jesus was here." Honestly, we do not talk enough about the miracle where Jesus turns water into wine. We always treat Jesus as though he's so serious. But his very first miracle that he ever did was to create happiness at a wedding. Now, I need to explain that a little bit, because when you read the story, it just seems like Jesus got everybody even more drunk than they already were. But I have to explain what a wedding was like in antiquity. We have weddings today. I do wedding services. They honestly last about 20 minutes or so, and then afterward the reception is a few hours, and that's it. That's the wedding. In antiquity, if you were a person of lower means, your wedding would have been about a week. Think about that. We're talking about a full day of ceremony and then about 6 days of just partying. And that was if you were a person of lower means. If you were a person of upper means, a wedding would last for about a month. Again, one full day of ceremony and then a full month of just partying. Now that sounds kind of crazy, but that's not it. If your wedding did not live up to the standards of the guests who are invited, who would have been the entire town and your friends and your family, if your wedding would not have met the standards of the guests, you could have been sued. If you don't throw a good enough wedding, your guests could sue you. So when we hear the story of Jesus turning water into wine, it's right there at this precipice of this wedding celebration not meeting the standards of those who are there. This isn't just simply a miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, or simply a miracle of Jesus showing his glory to people for the very first time. This miracle story is about Jesus helping this celebration to continue. It's a miracle of Jesus helping this happy couple and their parents and family members who have probably put this party on, a miracle to help them to keep having fun and to celebrate this happiness and this love. Now, I say all this because I want to make a radical statement right now. Here it is. God wants us to enjoy this life. You don't think that's radical, do you? I'm not seeing any response. We don't often treat God this way. These are not the expectations we think that God has for us. But I'm going to say this again. God wants us to enjoy this life. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to find joy in the various moments that come our way. Now, there's two responses that one could have to these two radical statements. The first one is not something we're necessarily about with our theology. But it is that this world is temporary. This world is temporary, and it is simply meant to be dedicated to service and disciplined, doing the right things kind of stuff until we get to the next world. This life is just simply a stepping stone to the next life. And that almost doesn't leave any room for joy, does it? But I think if that were the case, then I really don't think Jesus would have done this miracle at all. Now again, that's not really our thing here at this church. But here's the one for us. You see, we get really caught up in the needs of this world. We get really caught up in all of the pain and suffering that's out there. And we get really caught up in our call as Christians to try to respond to that need. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of bad stuff in the world. And it is really, really easy to be overwhelmed by that. And it's really easy to be overwhelmed by our call to help the world, because that work, honestly, is endless. I think that's the part, really, for us that we get caught up. But again, Jesus still does this miracle. And not only that, Jesus still went throughout the land helping people, doing the very same work that we are called to do. Yet, right here in this moment, Jesus has this space where it's not necessarily about healing a person, alleviating pain, speaking to justice. It is a miracle of celebration and joy, and it's God's presence in all of that. So I say it again, folks, God wants us to enjoy this life. God wants us to carve out those spaces in our day and our weeks and our months and our years where we just find joy. And to do so is not an escape. It's divine. So whatever way you do that, however you do it, whether it is immersing yourself in God's creation, whether it is going out and dancing with friends, whether it's a backyard party with grilling up some brats and some beer, grabbing drinks at an old bar with some old friends that you haven't been to in a long time, having those occasional dinners with loved ones, that random pickup game of basketball or bridge, going on vacations, simply curling up with a good book. We're going out and experiencing an incredible movie, a wonderful play, or a really fun concert, or beautiful piece of music. Whatever way you find joy, embrace it. Love it. Realize that you are participating in something divine, that this life that we have is not some temporary thing meant to get us somewhere else, but it is a gift. This life is a gift, and we as human beings, as creations of God, have these spaces in our hearts to understand when we see that joy and that love, and it fills us. And God wants all of that for each and every one of us. And as we go out there, as we celebrate this life, as we seek joy and love and laughter and even tears at times, we discover how present God is in this world, in others, and even in ourselves. Life, my friends, is merely an extension of God's divine being. So, your pastor is going to tell you now, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.